That song that we just sung speaks to the truth that our God wants to refine us. Our Lord wants to purify us, and he wants to do that as we submit ourselves to him. He does that by his Holy Spirit. And this is the purpose for which Jesus Christ has redeemed us, so that we would be a holy people, that we would be a pure people, that we would be people who love righteousness. And to be purified, to be refined, involves not only the deeds that we do, but the words that we speak. And as we're going to see today in this text in James, God is deeply concerned with the words that we speak. Today's sermon is all about the problem of swearing. Probably not the kind of swearing that you think when I say that word. We're not talking today about cuss words. We're not talking about profanity, though that is not, you know, you certainly shouldn't be speaking that way as a follower of Christ, and the Bible does speak to that issue. But the kind of swearing that we're talking about today that James deals with here in chapter 5, and if you have a Bible, please turn to James chapter 5. We're looking at one verse today, chapter 5, verse 12, where James deals with this problem of not profanity, but the kind of swearing in which we say, I swear blankety blank by my blankety blank that I will, or whatever. I think we know what we're talking about. To which some of us say, really, we're spending a whole sermon on that topic. What is the big deal about that kind of swearing? What is the big deal? Well, God apparently sees this as a very big deal. A much bigger deal than we tend to think it is. And this is certainly relevant because there are different kinds of swearing, the way that James is speaking about it. Actually, we just this past Wednesday, saw U.S. President Joe Biden stand before many, many people and put one hand on a Bible, the other hand in the air, and solemnly swear to faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States. And which leads us to ask as Christians, okay, so James is talking about swearing. Is that a bad kind of swearing? I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Can Christians do that? How should we think about it? Those are some of the things we're going to look at as we look at this text in James. Let's pray before we do that. Father, thank you for your word. All of it is God-breathed and is useful for us in our lives. And we want to obey this text. We want to understand it, and that means we need help. Help me as I try to explain and apply this verse, and I pray that we would be changed, that the way we speak would be transformed as we listen to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the verse, chapter 5 of the letter of James, verse 12. James says this. He says, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment. This is God's word, and it shows how seriously he takes our words. As we've gone through this letter of James, you know, we've seen that, what's he all about? What's James doing in this letter? Well, he's showing us how our faith in Christ ought to work itself out in our lives, the way we deal with trouble, the way we relate to the poor, the way we relate to the rich, and the way that we, the kind of wisdom that we use, and very importantly, in numerous places in this letter, he addresses how we speak, the words that we say. Jesus said that it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. Our words are an indication of what is here in our hearts, and our words are an indication. They show not only today to the people around me, but they will give evidence on the day of judgment, that day when we give account to God for our lives. The pattern of our words will testify to whether or not God's grace has changed our hearts, whether or not we've truly believed the gospel, whether or not we truly belong to him. Our words are an indication of that. This is very serious stuff. and we need to pay attention. Three things in this text, three points that I want us to see that James has for us to see. And the first is that James wants his readers to, number one, stop swearing. We see that right at the beginning of verse 12. He says, above all, my brothers and sisters. Now, what does he mean by above all? That sounds pretty important, right? Does he mean that this teaching about oaths is the most important thing in the letter? Like, above all, it's more important than anything he's said before. I mean, he's talked about faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's important. He's talked about love for one another. That's important. Is James saying that above all, this is more important? I don't think so. I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's saying that this is more important than the gospel or faith in Christ, love for God and neighbor. This phrase, above all, is the kind of thing that we see in ancient letters to kind of signify, I'm coming to the end, I'm landing the plane, I'm transitioning to another section. And that's what I believe, and a lot of commentators also say, that James is doing here by saying, above all. Nevertheless, this is clearly important, as everything in James's letter is important, and the way we speak is of great importance to James. So what is it to swear here? In this context, to swear means, I looked it up in the, I saw this in the Oxford Dictionary, to swear means to make a solemn declaration with an appeal to God or a superhuman being or to some sacred object in confirmation of what is said. That's a bit of a mouthful, but I think we know what we mean by it. People often swear in formal ways, they take an oath. An oath is this solemn promise that you're making that, you know, if I break this, there are consequences for myself. So, for example, when we think of oaths in the court of law, if you're going to serve as a witness in court, what do? Well, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In fact, you put yourself under oath, which means that if you say anything false, you can be guilty of perjury. If you break that oath. I mean, oaths are used in our own country in so many ways. The prime minister swore an oath. In fact, he held a Bible in both hands when he did that, just as we saw the U.S. president do that. If you want to become a Canadian citizen, you need to swear an oath of allegiance to the Queen and to be faithful to the laws of the land. Those who are law enforcement officers, those in the military, and many, many others in political office and elsewhere have to swear an oath in order to serve in their professions. And now the question is, why do we do this? Why are these so important? I mean, they were important in the time of James, and they're important in our own day. Why do we need to use oaths? And the reason is because we live in a world full of liars. That's why. It's because we can't trust each other. Because we live in a world where people fail to tell the truth and fail to keep their commitments. And so we need these things in order to hold people to something higher than themselves. We want to hold people to a higher accountability than their own word. And so what do? We reach for God and we say, this is why the president that we just saw said his oath and then said, so help me God. In fact, our own prime minister said those same words when he was sworn into office. How ironic that we have in so many ways rejected the authority of God in our country, and yet we want to appeal to the authority of God all the time in a court of law, in political office, in order to hold people to the truth and to hold people to keep their commitments. Some Christians, including Mennonites, that's my background, that's my heritage, they've concluded based on what James says here, based on what Jesus says elsewhere, that we should never, ever take an oath in any situation, whether casual or formal. And so many have requested to use the words, I solemnly affirm, instead of I solemnly swear, and our government has made allowance for that. And many of my many of those that I'm related to have been in those situations where they've said, I solemnly affirm instead. And certainly if that's your conviction, then you should follow your conscience in that regard if you're asked to make an oath. Having said that, I don't think what James is dealing with here is the kind of formal oaths that we see occasionally made. I think what he's talking about clearly is the kind of flippant, casual use of God's name in situations in which many people don't intend to tell the truth and don't actually intend to keep their commitments. The other reason why I think that James isn't dealing with kind of the more formal oaths is because we see these in the Bible. In fact, the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:13 says, "Fear the Lord your God, worship him, and take your oaths in his name." Or later on in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse starting at verse 21, "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord your God with your own mouth." So that's the Old Testament, but we also see this in the New Testament. In fact, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the churches in Galatia, he writes this, Galatians chapter 1, verse 20, he says, "I declare in the sight of God, I am not lying in what I write to you." Sounds kind of like he's making an oath. And the Bible even says that God himself has made an oath. In fact, Hebrews chapter 6, 13, the writer says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself, 'I will indeed bless you. I will greatly multiply you.'" To make an oath in God's name is a very serious thing to do. To make an oath in a casual or flippant way is a serious sin. It's a way of taking God's name in vain, breaking of one of the Ten Commandments. This was apparently a problem in this community that James was writing to. They were swearing by heaven or by earth, by other things, as James points out. You think about the context here. What are these people dealing with? Well, they're dealing with trouble. They're being oppressed. They're facing all kinds of challenges in their lives. And, you know, when you're under stress, it's very easy to say things rashly. It's very easy to want to make vows, either to others or before God, to get out of trouble. And these believers were predominantly Jewish, and so they understood not to take God's name in vain, and so they kind of came up with, I think, substitutes, kind of like we have, like, Christian cuss words, just substitute something else. Kind of, I think that's what they were doing here. I'm not going to use God's name, but maybe heaven or earth, something important that I can swear by. People do this sort of thing today, right? They say, "I swear on the life of my cat," or on a grave of a loved one, or I'm reminded of the creature Gollum in Lord of the Rings, who needs something to swear by to serve the master of the precious, and so we'll swear on the precious. And if that makes no sense to you, don't worry, we'll just move right along. But Jesus himself addressed this kind of thing in the Sermon on the Mount, right? He says, chapter 5 of Matthew, we read, Jesus said, "You have heard it was said to our ancestors, 'You must not break your oath, but you must keep your oaths to the Lord.' But I tell you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, because it is God's throne, or by the earth, because it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black." So what was the problem? The problem was taking oaths by everything, swearing by heaven, by earth, by Jerusalem, is that all of these things are related to God, and they're a way of emptying the name of God of its solemnity and serious and reverence. And that was a real problem. That was a problem in Jesus' day, and it was a problem with the community that James was writing to. It's a way of taking God's name in vain, but it also undermines the importance of just telling the truth all the time. the more you make oaths in casual conversation, the more you say, I swear, I swear, I swear, I swear I'm telling the truth, I swear I wasn't there, I swear I never took a cookie, I swear I'm gonna do this. The more you do that, the less trustworthy you are making yourself out to be. Because it implies that you're not normally being honest. And it feeds into a very worldly and corrupt kind of system in which we kind of create loopholes to get out of telling the truth or doing what we say we will do. And a believer in Jesus should never be known for that. Just so don't make oaths in casual conversation. Save that for very serious and solemn occasions, and do so with full reverence to God and a total commitment to carry out what you're promising to do. So that was the first point. Stop swearing. Second, instead, speak the simple truth. Speak the simple truth. James says this in this verse. He says, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. According to James, this is just part of being a Christian. This is a mark of faith in Jesus. A true believer just wants to simply say the way things are. Because when we do that, we reflect our Lord who said that he was the truth. In fact, going back to this passage in Matthew 5, Jesus said something that sounds very much like what James is writing here. And I wonder if James got this right from Matthew or from the Lord. Matthew 5:37, Jesus says, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more than this is from the evil one. Satan is the father of lies, the Bible says. And so according to Jesus, to lie is a way that's very consistent with him, very consistent with Satan, and to speak the truth is consistent with the Lord himself. And so mean what you say, say what you mean. Don't use all kinds of verbal gymnastics to make your yes appear like a no or your no appear as a yes. Just say what you really mean. And there's something that is so beautiful and efficient and powerful about just speaking the simple truth. Just saying yes or no. It could be like a gust of fresh air into a putrid basement when you follow what James is saying here. Say what is true. And so to follow what James is saying means not only saying what you'd like to be true, what you want the other person to think is true, but rather saying what is really true. And then not only that, but saying you will do what you're really going to do. Being honest about your commitments, right? It makes me think of how often as believers we'll talk about, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with you. Or we say, I will pray for you. How many times has somebody asked you to pray about something and you said, yeah, for sure, 100%, I'm going to pray for that, and you don't actually do it? By the way, why do we say 100%? Everybody nowadays is saying 100% about everything. I'd like to maybe sometimes say maybe something like 80%. Or 60%, yeah. Hey, can you pray for, you know, my dog has an ingrown toenail. Could you please pray for my dog? I'd be like 30%. 30% I'm going to pray for that. Not that good of a chance. Or maybe 50%. Maybe it's 50-50. Look, if we're honest, maybe we'll just say, I'll pray for you right now. Or I hope I'll remember to pray for you. I mean, that would be more honest than saying that we're going to do something that we don't actually follow through on. My dad told me a story about his dad, my grandpa, Walter Edwin Craker, who has long since passed away, but my grandpa was a deeply principled man. And my dad told me a story about how when he was younger and they were at Elmwood MB Church just down the street on Henderson, they had what was called here at this church, they had, I'm going to butcher this German word, but it was a Bible besprechung, is that, do you guys know what that is? I think Bible meeting. I am getting some weird looks. There's just a few people in the sanctuary here, our worship team, and kind of scratching their heads. Is that German? Let's just move on. It means Bible meeting. Bible meeting. And it was this week-long Bible conference. And my grandpa was at this conference with my dad, so like a week-long preaching every night, and my dad said that the speaker at this Bible conference, near the beginning of the week, he challenged everyone. He said, I want all of you, I'm going to invite you to commit to praying every day for this Bible conference. Every day we're going to pray, and you're going to commit to that, praying every day for this. And I want you to stand. The speaker said, I want you to stand if you are committing to doing this every day. And my dad said that everyone in the whole place stood up except my grandpa. My grandpa just sat there with his arms crossed, looking straight ahead. And my dad told me that later, he was like, Dad, everyone stood up to answer this challenge. How come you didn't stand? And apparently my grandpa said that he didn't stand because he had no intention of praying every day for Bible besprechung, or however you say it. He had no intention of doing that. And I hear that story, and I say, not to say that it's wrong to pray every day for something, and we should, but how many people who stood actually didn't follow through on that commitment? And what my grandpa understood was, when you make a commitment, you do it, and you don't make commitments, and you don't say you're going to do something if you're not going to follow through, or at least have every intention of following through on it. Say what you mean what you say, and say what you'll really do. This is the honest way to live. But it's not easy to do this, right? In many ways, you're swimming against the stream. When you're committed to speaking the truth simply, some people will admire you and others will dislike you. That's just the way it is. You could get promoted, you could get demoted. I read recently about a man in Montreal who owns a Chinese restaurant, and it's called Aunt Dai, and D-A-I. And his goal is to be completely honest about his menu. And I was so fascinated by this story, because apparently on his menu, like about his orange beef, he writes, quote, this one is not that good, but it's your call. And he writes that about a lot of things on his menu, like, these things are good, I'm working on this, this has got a weird texture to it. And apparently his restaurant has gone viral, like his menu has gone viral, and business is up. Why? Because people are drawn to honesty. They're just drawn to transparency, and so it's gone well for him, but it won't always go well for you. You speak the simple truth, you may lose. You may lose a deal in business. Your boss may be very unhappy with you because you tell the truth. Maybe you're selling your home and you got to be honest about something about the house, or you're selling a car and you're honest about the car and the buyer walks away and you could have got the deal, but now you didn't because you were honest. It could cost you. And so how are we as Christians going to live this way on a daily basis? We've got to set our sights higher. We've got to see a bigger picture. We've got to see that this momentary life is just, I mean, it's just a blip, and God is everything, and he's observing, and he's going to come, and we're going to give an answer for all the words that we've spoken. That's what we've got to see. Which brings us to the third point. We've seen that we should stop swearing. We should speak the simple truth. But then third, James gives a motivation. You should stop swearing, you should speak the simple truth, so you can stand with integrity. So you can stand with integrity. But let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment. What's the opposite of fall? Stand. To be able to stand with integrity before God. I mean, James has just been talking in the context about the coming of the Lord. He's just said previously the Lord is near and that the Lord is a judge. And so when he's talking about judgment, that calls to mind the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return and we're going to give an answer for our lives. In fact, Jesus himself said this, Matthew 12:36. He said, I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. In other words, as I said earlier, the pattern of our words will give evidence for the kinds of people that we are. The words that we've spoken in our lives will attest to whether we are among the saved or unsaved, the regenerate or the unregenerate, the forgiven or the unforgiven, those who belong to God or those who do not belong to God. That's not to say that we're saved by the words we speak. It's not to say that if we clean up our language enough, then God will accept us into heaven and give us eternal life. The truth is, none of us can claim to have been honest every moment of our lives. Who of us can claim that we are without sin? The sins of the tongue, and the Bible is clear that we have no hope of ever saving ourselves or meriting God's grace because of our good behavior. The scriptures are clear that we're not saved by our good works, and we are not saved by our good words. We're saved by faith alone, by grace alone, through Jesus Christ alone. How thankful I am for the words at the beginning of this verse, my brothers and sisters. Don't miss that. What's that? That's a reminder of the gospel. That's a reminder that I have been adopted, those my brothers and sisters in this family of God, by grace alone. We've been adopted into God's family because of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for our sins. That's how we've gotten into God's grace. And that invitation is for anybody, whoever you are, no matter how badly you've blown it with your words, with your deeds, in your life. When you come to God in Jesus' name, he promises to forgive you and give you life in Christ, because of his son that he gave for you and for me. These words, brothers and sisters, remind us that we can belong to God, that we can be accepted by God through Jesus Christ. We can be forgiven for all of the rash and foolish words we've spoken, the flippant vows that we've made. I am so grateful that somebody like me can be included in my brothers and sisters, not because I deserve it myself, but because of Jesus and how he earned it for me. It's because of this same undeserved grace in my life that I can now live a different life. I can love the truth. I can long to treat God's name with reverence in my life, and I can desire to speak the simple truth in my life to bring honor to the Lord Jesus, to bring good to those around me. And so I'm reminded of what Jesus has done for me when I see my brothers and sisters, and yet I'm also reminded that Jesus is going to come back for me. He's going to come back for us. And we are going to give an account for how we have lived in this life for him. Think of the dozens and hundreds and thousands and millions of words that we've spoken. This sermon is like 3,000 words. I just tremble at the thought of all the things I've said that maybe aren't helpful to you. God is the judge of each and every word that we speak, whether that's in a sermon or an everyday conversation, email, text, Facebook. And what matters most is not what other people think about our words. What matters most is what God thinks of our words, because God alone is the ultimate judge of the words that we have spoken. That's what matters most. That is what we so easily forget. But if we live and speak and act with God in mind, if we live and act and speak with Jesus Christ in mind and his return, then we'll have motivation to stop swearing falsely, to speak the truth simply. Then we'll have motivation to let our yes be yes and our no be no. And when we do that, our consciences can be put at rest. We can have confidence before God. We can stand before God in the grace of Jesus Christ, and we can also stand before others. And we can show ourselves to be people of integrity, reflecting something imperfectly but truthfully the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, stop swearing. Instead, speak the simple truth so that you can stand with integrity today and tomorrow and the next day until the Lord comes. Amen.